I'm so glad that you're here and able to be a part of it. And those that are tuning in by Facebook or YouTube, we especially want to say welcome to you. And so glad that you're able to tune in and be a part of our worship time together. May the Lord bless you, especially as you are there tuning in. Today I want to read out of the old story of Nehemiah. And if you're familiar with it, you know that this story tells about the rebuilding of ancient walls that had been torn down and turned into rubble, and gates had been burned and were just kind of laying on the ground in disrepair. And so the story of Nehemiah is the rebuilding of the walls and the gates of this ancient city, Jerusalem. But it's more than just the rebuilding of city walls and city gates. I actually believe that it's the story of God rebuilding a people. So it's God writing a new story about a new people. And so I've entitled this series of messages, Praying a New Story. Because all through Nehemiah is praying. The people are praying. They're interacting with God about the circumstances that they find themselves in. I want to read a portion today of that story. And so listen, and may the Lord begin to speak to our hearts today from His Word. Now, I'll tell you, there are a couple of names here that I want to just go ahead and speak. There's one character named Sanballat and his cohort, Tobias. And in this story, these are the antagonists. They are out to bring harm and disrespect and ill repute to Nehemiah and to the people that are doing the work. So here we go. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and greatly incensed or enraged. He ridiculed the Jews that were working, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble people doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Essentially, he was saying, why are they wasting their time on this meaningless task? Well, Tobias, the Ammonite who was at his side, said, what they are building, even a fox climbing upon it would break down their wall of stones. Now, these next words change from the words of Sanballat and Tobiah. They become Nehemiah's prayer. So Nehemiah prays this, "Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight. For they have thrown insults in the face of the builders," or in the face of us builders. So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod, that was the whole company of antagonists. When they heard that the repairs to Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat or any threat that would come our way. Lord, would you bless your word as we hear it and as we seek to understand it and how it applies to our lives this day. In your name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. Head or heart? It's a dividing line that seems to crop up for me all the time. Is it a mind game that someone is playing on me, or is my heart falling for something again? Is she too cerebral, always in her head, or is he too impulsive, reacting from his heart? Well, Jesus brings the two of these, head and heart, together when he answers the question, what is the greatest commandment? Jesus answers, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. There we go. It's both. It's head and heart together. Well, what about with prayer? Is it an activity of the head, the mind, or is it an activity of the heart? You wouldn't be surprised for me to say, it's both. It's both. When someone prays, they can acknowledge what they believe to be true about God. That's the mind. They can do that on one day, and then on the next day, turn around, and they find themselves crying out in prayer from a broken, troubled heart. So prayer is both. In the story I read, Nehemiah is praying again. He's a praying man, and he's praying again toward a new story for him and his people. Nehemiah is doing some crying out, what can be called heart praying. Last week we looked at honest praying. Today I want to look at heart praying. Listen to one translation of Nehemiah's prayer. Our God, these people hate us and have wished horrible things for us. Please answer our prayers and make their insults fall on them. Let them be the ones to be dragged away as prisoners of war. Don't forgive the mean and evil way they have insulted our builders. Now, if we listen to that prayer, it's not a churchy kind of quiet and reverent prayer. No. Nehemiah is perturbed, and he is crying out to the Lord. Go back and let me repeat these words and give some emphasis that might communicate a little more clearly how Nehemiah was perturbed and crying out. Our God, the God that is ours and not them. God, we are your people, and those people hate us, your people. They hate us, and they have wished horrible things on us, your people. So please hear our prayers, because we are your people. And make their insults fall down upon them. Let them be the ones dragged off as enemies of war, prisoners of war. Because, Lord, we've been dragged away as prisoners of war ourselves. Let them be the ones to be taken away. Don't forgive them. Don't forgive the mean and evil way that they have insulted us, your builders, your people. Nehemiah's not happy. He's perturbed, angry, incensed, kind of like Sanballat and Tobiah. And he's crying out to God from his heart. I want to quickly draw a contrast here between Nehemiah's prayer and the way that Jesus instructs us in relation to those that we might consider our enemies. Nehemiah's ticked off and perturbed, and he's praying a certain way from the heart about his enemies. But I want to remind us as Christ followers, Jesus always tells us to love our enemies as ourselves, to turn the other cheek when someone smacks us on one side, to pray for those who persecute us. And so we need to hold kind of these in both hands. Sometimes our heart's cry, sometimes our heart's prayer just bubbles up from out of us. God knows how to handle those kinds of prayers, just like he knew how to handle Nehemiah's. I want to encourage us to always remember how Jesus teaches us to live in this world as well. Nehemiah's is a heart cry of a prayer. There's desperation there in his prayer. And it's desperate because Nehemiah and the people and even God's vision are facing trouble. And trouble with names. Sanballat and Tobiah. Now, those are nice enough names. You might not name your child those names, but they're nice enough. But the people, not so much. Sanballat and Tobiah, they were angry. They were incensed, set on fire, as it was, by what they were witnessing as Nehemiah and the people worked. They were enraged. They were ridiculing. They became pessimistic. As they spoke, their words were demeaning and belittling and disrespecting. They were using ridiculing words to gnaw away at Nehemiah and the people, but also to gnaw away at God's vision. I can hear these two naysayers now. It's a waste of time to try to rebuild out of all of this rubble. Hey guys, it's beyond your capability. What do you think you're doing? It's beyond your resources. Where do you think you're going to get the money and the materials from? Hey guys, this project is beyond you. This vision is a waste of time and effort, and it will eventually fail. It wouldn't take more than a fox trotting on top for this wall and this vision and this people to topple. Remember now, Nehemiah's and the people's vision to rebuild Jerusalem's walls and gates was actually God's vision to write a new story in the lives and the future of God's people. Sanballat and Tobiah were not just trying to tear down the work of a people or a person. They were trying to tear down the vision of God to write a new story for his people. Sometimes our trouble comes along and says the same things as Sanballat and Tobiah. Our trouble also has a name or names. It's a person or even a few persons. Maybe it's a coworker who is undermining you. Maybe it's a classmate that's bullying you and will not leave you alone. Maybe it's an online post that is smearing you. Sometimes trouble that surfaces comes up from down deep inside of us. It rises up at different times. Maybe when you have determined that it's time to step out in courage and something rises up in you. Maybe an old fear you hear screaming at you from your past. An old insecurity about who you are or what you can do that makes you feel like you're in middle school all over again. Maybe there's even anger or rage even that bubbles up and bubbles out of you. And all this time you thought you had conquered. You thought you had conquered it. God is working in you and through you. Do you have a sense of that? I believe that as we look into our lives, God is working in all of us. He's working in us and through us, writing out, as it were, a new vision. And this God-given vision can come under attack. That's the trouble. The trouble is there. The trouble is there facing you. Can you hear it as it says, "You cannot do this"? Who are you kidding? This is totally beyond you. You will fail. And it won't take but a small thing to cause you and this vision that God is writing in your life to topple. But in this story, in this old story of Nehemiah, there is a truth. God works in the difficulty and trouble that we face to give birth to our new story. And through the heart praying, through the crying out in prayer, the God-given vision begins to rise up in us with more clarity and more voice. God's new story for us emerges right out of the very difficulty and trouble that we face. Nehemiah testifies to this. He says this. He says, "So we rebuilt the wall till all of it had reached half its height." And then this last phrase, which I love, "For the people worked with all their heart." Nehemiah is saying that right in the face of Sanballat and Tobiah, their trouble. He is speaking this truth, that right in the face of the trouble, God is writing a new story for you and for me and for us. Sanballat and Tobiah, they could have won the day. Their voices, taunting and ridiculing, could have brought an end to the rebuilding of the wall and the gates, to the rebuilding of a people. But Nehemiah's heart went to praying. Do you see that? Rather than listening to the voices of trouble and ridicule, Nehemiah's heart went to praying. And his and the people's prayers gave voice to their desire to hang on to the vision and press through the trouble. They got busy building. Even though Sanballat and Tobiah were standing right there, spouting ridicule and causing trouble, they got busy rebuilding. And they even delegated or designated, or sometimes like our committees work, somebody who was absent that day got nominated to spend 24/7 on that wall standing guard. They went to work building, but they also took a stand on that wall and said, "We are going to press through this trouble, and we're going to grab hold of the story, the new story that our God is writing." Their heart prayers pressed through the trouble. They held on tight to God's vision that He's laid out before them. And then the people took action. And that action, I describe it in two ways. It was courageous and it was audacious. Do you know what audacious means? It can kind of have a negative connotation, but it can also have some really powerful connotation, like really, really bold, audacious, willing to take a risk. Audacious, that kind of sounds like faith to me. Willing to be courageous, willing to be audacious as we seek to enact the story that we believe that God has laid before us and that He's writing for us. It's a whole new story. And there are voices that would tell you, you cannot do it. You will fail. You do not have it in you. But heart praying presses on, prays on through the trouble, and clings for dear life to the vision that God has given, the new story that He is writing. And then, in response to the Lord, begins to act, begins to take action that many times looks courageous, audacious, and for some people makes absolutely no sense. But it really doesn't matter what other people think about what we believe God has laid before us. What really matters is how we respond to the Lord. That's what heart praying can do as we pray a new story. Might our heart praying cause us to press through the trouble that we're staring at, that's staring at us, that maybe is doing more than staring. Maybe it's speaking at us, or maybe even taking action against us. But may our heart praying cause us to press on through the trouble. May our heart praying cause us to hold tight to the vision that God is enacting in our lives. And may our heart praying cause us to be ready to get to work with God as He is by our side. I can't promise that God's work will not call you for a lot of courage and even a little bit of audacity. But know this, know that it is God who is writing the story. And our praying, our heart praying, keeps us right in the middle of the story that God is writing for our lives. Right in the middle of it. Amen. Would you pray with me? Oh God, this is an old and ancient story about a man and some people with some strange names and an old people that no longer live and exist. And yet, your word bears testimony to how it is that you were involved with them. And Lord, it speaks a truth to us about how you are involved in our lives, our individual lives, the lives of our families, the lives of our loved ones, the lives of our friends, the lives of our church, even, Lord, beyond us, the life of this community and this world in which we live. Lord, you are the author and the finisher, the completer of the story. And Lord, my prayer today is that we would be able to hear from you and begin to know the story that you're writing for us. Might we find in our daily practice and our daily activity the space for us to pray heart prayers, honest prayers, prayers that seek a new story in our life. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. And we respond to both now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.